Welcome to the Love Tennis Podcast. This is episode 7. Real excited to be joined here by Kurt. Kurt, I'll let you introduce yourself and what you do, and then we'll dive into this really important topic that I think sometimes goes overlooked, at least at the level that I'm coaching at high school.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. My name is Kurt Steffen. I've been in the racket customizing business industry for almost 30 years now. I've been in business for myself for about 10 years. What we deal with is we deal with anywhere from top pros to juniors to average club players, where we can customize rackets from stringing to the racket, weight and balance to handles. And a new part of our business, which isn't really new, but has taken off, is the custom painting of the rackets to individual custom jobs that people would like to have.
Yeah, and I've started following you on Instagram, and it's really cool to see, and you do beautiful work there. What's your Instagram handle for anyone that wants to go and follow along and see that?
It's pretty easy. It's at Custom Tennis Rackets, and it's a racket with a Q. That's it, at Custom Tennis Rackets.
Awesome. Yeah, I encourage anyone to go follow along there and go to Kurt if you need some work done, because it's looking pretty cool. And you're based out of Florida, right?
Correct. We're in Delray Beach, Florida. We're about 45 minutes from Hard Rock Stadium, where the Miami Open is held.
Awesome. And do you have clients mostly in Florida? Or are they kind of all over? I mean, I know you work with some professional players as well.
Right. A majority of our clients are local, since obviously Florida is a little bit of a hotbed for training. We've got a couple good camps around here that they'll train at, and it's easy for us to get on court with them and do some stuff and do their stringing and customization and stuff like that. Our business is starting to sway towards the women's tour a little bit more for some reason, but I obviously been in the business, like I said, for almost 30 years and done rackets for Yvonne, for Sampras, for Rafter, Chang, Navratilova, Selva, Celis. So I've worked with high level players before, and I can convey that to the younger players that are coming up.
Yeah, high level might be an understatement for some of those names that you just mentioned. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. As anyone listening might have guessed, today we're going to talk a little bit about rackets and that kind of thing. To start off, I just want to share a quick story. So coaching high school here at Mazer Prep, one of my girls this last year, actually two of them, but we're going to focus on one. Two of them won region championships at their positions. And one in particular, we put together a great game plan going into the championship match against her opponent, who, you know, my girl, Mia, she was the underdog. Her opponent was the top seed in the tournament. We'd lost to her in the regular season. But as we'd been watching the match film, we noticed something that stood out. And that thing that stood out to us and that we game planned around was that her racket was too heavy for her. She was swinging a racket that was too heavy. And one of the reasons I spotted it is because it's actually my racket, the pro staff behind me. And I was like, that's pretty heavy. She has to pop her shoulders a little extra to get that forehand around. And so we started the game plan around that and won that championship match, in large part because the opponent there, her racket was too heavy. And that's an interesting thing that I think that is overlooked at this level a lot, is the racket that you choose really matters. So Kurt, right. how can a player find the right racket for them? What do they need to look for to find the proper racket for their game?
If somebody's starting out or don't have a feel for a particular racket, a lot of people will see what's on TV and try to go after that. The Babolat, Nadal, all the top three guys or whatever, Head, Wilson. That's the ironic thing, is there's not a perfect – somebody else's racket is not perfect for that individual. As you can see, the top three guys, the big three they call them, all have different manufacturers, all have different weights and specs. So it's basically a test and feel. Everything's personal. I get a lot of questions. People come to me and go, give me the perfect racket in your hand. I say, if I could do that, I'd make a lot of money, because I can put a lot of perfect rackets in people's hands, pro players, and make a lot of money out of it. So it's basically a trial error and just keep trying different rackets. If you have the access maybe online to get some demos and try, I would try three different manufacturers, maybe Yonex, Head, and Wilson, which are kind of different frames from each other as far as the stiffness goes, as far as the flexibility and stuff like that. You can feel the difference in those rackets. The string beds obviously play into it. Once you can manipulate down to a particular racket, a manufacturer that you like, then you can start dialing in on it and figure out what you want to do with the strings and the handles and the grips and stuff like that, which what we do with the pros. Once we get a model, they're going to make 10, 20 of them exactly the same, which is obviously the high end of it because they're living with this racket. But somebody along the juniors level, high school levels, testing is the biggest thing. And it's trial and error and trying to get the rackets similar to each other. When I say similar, the strings the same, the handle size is the same. There's a lot of little science to it, obviously. But trying different rackets right away, you can hit with it for probably about 15, 20 minutes and say, no, I like it, or maybe. If you get that maybe, and then you can dial it in with other things like the strings and the handles and the grips and stuff, then you're on your way to finding your magic wand, so to speak.
That's really interesting. And it's interesting that you say, you know, 15, 20 minutes, you can kind of start to get a feel for it and start to dial in from there. You know, because a lot of times we get these demo rackets, right? You know, we order from, one of the online distributors and get a couple of demos in and we go out and play. You know, playing for 15, 20 minutes, what should we be doing in those 15, 20 minutes? Should we be playing out point? Should we just be running drills and hitting a few different shots? What should we look at there?
Initially, what I would do is if you have a batch of rackets, whatever, 3, 4, 5 rackets that you're going to test through, I don't know how long, you would be able to hold on to those to really get a feel for them, but you're going to probably eliminate a couple of them really quick. Like if you're going to hit with it and you just don't feel it, it's kind of like getting in your car and somebody moves your car seat, you know, it's wrong. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. If you pick up that Federer Wilson, the heavy version of it, for somebody in high school, it was probably going to be too heavy for them, like you stated earlier. So you're going to know that right away. So I think you can get away with eliminating rackets quicker than really falling in love with the racket. So you have to, work your way through eliminating something to get to where you want to be and your favorite racket in the end.
Yeah, for sure. And I can relate to that. When I was getting a new racket a couple of years ago, I had a few demos and I took one swing. I think it was a Prince. I can't remember which racket it was. And nothing against Prince. I know they're great stuff. Like, a lot works for a lot of people. I took one swing. I was like, nope. Set it down, right. Moved on. So as you're kind of fine tuning, maybe you get down to a manufacturer. I think it's interesting that you kind of narrow it that way. What's next? You get that, let's say you end up with Wilson. You're like, I love this Wilson racket that I'm swinging. Right. What's next to find the right one?
And this is probably the biggest step out of all of it is your setup as far as your string tension, your handle, like I've been saying, your grip, what you're going to use, over grips, because there's different, grips for moisture and stuff. That little dialing in is really going to be the biggest part. You could probably take, if you find out what string, what tension, and what grip size and the grip you're using, and put those on two different rackets, you're going to have probably very similar feel for somebody who has not grown up on a racket. I speak as of like the pros have. Those guys, they start out at 16, 15 with a racket, and all those guys on tour now are playing with that same racket from 15, 20 years ago. So somebody who doesn't have a mindset of this is my racket, they're going to be very close as far as a Wilson and maybe a Yonex, just throwing names out there. So the dialing in is probably more important than actually finding the magic wand, because you could have the best stick ever as far as racket wise. If you have the wrong strings and the wrong tensions, it's not going to feel anywhere close to what you want to do and play with.
So that's kind of fascinating. I think at least at the high school level, we probably have that backwards. I think the mindset a lot of times is the racket's what matters.
Right.
What then is kind of your advice for finding, let's start with just the right string in general. Okay. Is it a similar process? You know,
rewind just a hair on that. As far as the rackets, there's obviously the manufacturers have different things in their rackets, and certain players can want to look for certain things. If somebody wants power, you're obviously going to probably gravitate towards the Babolat. Babolats are very powerful rackets. And in the last year and a half, they changed the flex to get more power out of them. So a racket like a Babolat is going to be very powerful for a girl in high school. Might work really well for them then, if they're not generating the power that the coach or somebody wants to see out of it, that racket can help them with that. On the boys, maybe they want to go with a head racket that has more control, or a Wilson that has more control. So there is back and a certain player and go, she needs more power, or he needs more power, or whatever you're looking for. And those certain, the Yonex, and we had one of our pros go from a Babolat to a Yonex only because she had so much power. The Yonex gave her the control, and now she's 36 in the world. So in a year and a half, she made that transition, and with a little bit of string adjustments, and every day we're tweaking and going. So those little adjustments, but we saw that she couldn't control the ball. So then we transferred her over to a Yonex racket, which has a lot of control, and it was like night and day for something like that. But that's on the racket end. If you're right. What you were saying before about picking out a racket, yes, there is different flexes for rackets that make them powerful, or they make them more control if somebody's really hitting the ball and hitting hard on it and can bring it back in court. That and a little tweaking with the strings and stuff. As far as the strings go, you're looking at probably three different major strings that we use is gut, which very rarely anybody uses anymore. The gut, the poly, and the synthetics. A lot of the top pros, obviously people can Google and find out every little thing, that a lot of top pros are using a hybrid of gut and a Luxalon poly or something, a certain poly, because they can still get the feel out of it. They generate all the power they want. I'm talking on the men's tour, obviously. They generate all the power that they could possibly need. They're trying to reel that ball back in. So if they want to swing out 80 to 90%, the ball's not going to fly on them because they have that Luxalon in there to deaden it down and bring it back into court for them. So a mixture of strings, tensions. Everybody's gone since when I was stringing with Yvonne from 76 pounds. Actually, I did Monica Seles at 94 pounds on her rackets. Wow. When she was stringing with Technifiber. With a Technifiber back then, that was basically like a rubber band. It used to stretch a mile. So we had to do it at 94 on, I think she was at, the hoop size on that thing was maybe 120 or something like that. She maxed out on the hoop for as far as what you're allowed. And, but they've all came down a lot since those days because the poly comes into play. You obviously don't want it that tight and stuff. So in general, what we're stringing these days is most of our players in juniors and up-and-coming players will string probably in the high 40s to mid 50s with a poly string, and that will give you a little bit of pop, and it'll keep the ball in the court. You can swing out on it. So
yeah, so the I'm usually stringing about 55, and that's, I think I found that just by starting in the middle of the recommended, the racket has the little recommended tension range, right? And I kind of started in the middle, and it tweaked a little bit here and there, but ended up settling back in the middle where it felt pretty comfortable for me. So that recommended range, does that work for most people? Do you ever stray outside of that? What's
for somebody who's starting out, that's a good starting point. And we do that with a lot of players. We'll ask same thing is what's the perfect racket? What's the perfect tension? It's all manipulation of just trial by error and testing all this stuff out until you can get to it. Some of the players the younger players we deal with, they don't have the finances to get string jobs every day. So it's kind of hard. You're like throwing the dart to the dartboard and hope you hit the bullseye with them very fairly quickly. That way we could get in. And with players like that, if they don't have attention, they're not going to pick up on 3 to 4 pounds if we go either way. But once they start playing and getting in, and then you can start tweaking it and getting it to the perfect tension for them. Like the pros, it would be like a race car driver with 2 pounds down in his front tire. He's going to feel it faster than what we are. So they obviously they've hit a million balls. They can feel every little thing. Players that are starting out, we can get the middle of the range. And that's, you know, that's a good starting point, whatever the racket recommendation is, because obviously they've done the testing and for that particular racket. And you also got to take into play the string if it's a synthetic or a poly, because you're going to adjust either down or up for either one of those. And then start from there and then do a lot of testing. I know it's repetitive, but this is what the whole back end of the business is. It's personal testing of people getting out there and feeling it and going, yes, no, basically, till we can get to a point. And then once you get to that point, then you're in good shape.
That's one of the beautiful things I think about this game is there's no one size fits all solution for any part of it. You know, from playing style to racket to string to, you know, there's no one size fits all answer. And I love that. It's frustrating sometimes because you do want to just like take it and be like, you know, I just want to pick up a racket and have it be perfect. But like you said, that's not an option. Let's take a step back even real quick. And for, you know, a player at the high school level, we get a lot of players who haven't played before high school. You know, they just, they're stepping on court for the first time. They're freshman
year. That was me.
Same here. And I got cut from the baseball team, and that's why I ended up playing tennis. So
and I didn't start until 10th grade, so I was a late bloomer on this one. So
there you go. You know, starting out, tennis is a complex sport, right? And a lot of these players, they don't know if they're gonna last. They don't know if they're gonna love it. They don't know if they're gonna come back for another year. So they probably don't want to go out and drop $200 on a racket right out of the gate.
Right.
So that very first racket, you know, is the recommendation, hey, just go to Walmart and pick up a $15, $20 racket and start and then we'll build from there? Or do you have some other advice for players in that situation?
It all depends on the individual, obviously, and where they're at financially and, you know, playing and stuff like that. Headed to, you know, Walmart or a sporting goods store or something and trying to pick up something to get into the game might work, but you don't want to get something in your hand that's not letting you do what you want to do, and then the game's not fun, and then that's when you lose people from the game. So it's a catch-22. You got to spend a little bit, so to speak, to get into the game, to stay into the game, so to speak, because if you go out and get one, you know, even like $100 racket and it's not strung right, and you're going to go out and hit the balls, get frustrated because you can't keep the ball on the court, then you're defeating the purpose of, you know, trying to get younger people into the game. And I always compare this to golf, which is amazing how the economics work, because golf guys will go and spend $1,000 on a putter where tennis rackets, you tell somebody tennis rackets $250, then you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's shell shock, so to speak. But yeah, it is what it, you get what you kind of pay for. So if you're a coach dealing with high school kids that are getting into it, you want to get something that's fairly decent in their hands and try not to break the bank. You know, that would be the ultimate goal. And then hopefully with the tweaking of the strings and stuff like that, tensions, that can help them play a little bit better. Because obviously the bottom line is the more people win, the happier they are, the more they want to play the game. So that's what, you know, obviously we do with everybody from like our rec players to juniors to pros. We keep everybody happy.
Yeah, for sure. Curiosity question. What was your first racket?
Oh, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. My best friend in high school played since he was probably in eighth grade, and he turned me on in 10th grade to the game. He gave me two of his Wilson Ultra Aluminums with the plastic blue piece in the throat. I had no clue. Obviously went out there and ran around circles like every other person starting the game out, and played doubles. I played doubles for a while and took one in the throat off my partner, putting one up in the air, and didn't know where I was at and what was going on. And then my closing year was getting smoked in the districts 6-0, 6-0, while my buddy was outside the fence begging the other guy to give me a game. So that's my tennis career in a hole, basically.
Sounds pretty similar to my playing career. So.
Hey,
oh man, up. Yeah, I'm a much better coach than I ever was a player. good stuff. My first, I think my parents had a couple of old head rackets laying around, so that's what I took to practice the first couple. And as I got into it later in the season, went and this Wilson Hyperhammer behind me went and picked up one of those, and it all started from there. But cool. Well, good stuff. I appreciate the insight here and all this. I think it's been really valuable to me. I know it'll be valuable to my players. I'm sure you could talk for hours and hours on this subject, but is there anything else that you'd like to add for now?
You just throw the basics out there for anybody who's starting or you want to get into the game is, you know, tension wise. Some people know it, some people don't. The higher you go, the more control you have. The lower you go, the more power you're going to get out of it. The strings, the polys are dead. And the misunderstanding with the polys is people think that they don't break, they don't need to be changed, which is you're defeating the purpose of wanting to stay on the court and play, because you're either going to end up with an arm problem or the string's going to be so dead you're not going to be able to get it over the net. So just because the string, and the misconception we always get that is that, you know, string not broke, we don't have strings. And I get some of my rec players 6 months, 8 months, and I see the racket with my sticker on it, and I go, oh yeah, I strung this 8 months ago. I'm like, this is, you know, but, and they wonder why they can't play tennis the way that they, the level and way they want to play it. And those little things, I got a girl junior that doesn't change her grips, and now she's got an arm problem. So now I go, a $3 grip, which is probably the cheapest thing you can buy and put on your racket, would save her a lot of pain, literally, and get her through this whole issue. Now it's going to, you know, 6 months off or whatever she's got to do. And so little things like that, we try to avoid as much as possible. So
for sure. What's the general rule of thumb for how often you should restring your racket, even if the strings aren't broken?
I would say, on the poly side, every string, when we take it off the machine, drops a certain percentage in tension. The tension is not so much the issue. It's the playability in the string itself. So when it becomes dead. So like a poly, if you're leaving, it depends. And obviously, even if you're not playing, people don't understand. Your string is dying if it's sitting in the hallway. Please don't leave it in your car in the garage in 110 degrees, because then you're going to get it strung every day if you're doing that. But rule of thumb, I would probably go 2 to 3 weeks at least, at the most rather, on a poly. Synthetics, you can stretch that a little more. Now gut, people always balk at gut because we're stringing gut at $65 a set. It's because the gut is $42. But that gut, we pulled the Vitas Gerolaitis racket out from 1979 and went and hit with it in the strings. Gut is natural. The tension falls a little bit and it maintains. If you don't break it, gut is probably the best investment you can make into a racket for playability, for longevity. As long as you don't break it, you're good to go. But you're going to have probably a problem with people trying to string gut, because there's very few of us out there that will take it on because of the cost.
That makes sense. And I think in a location like where we're at here in Utah, it'll probably be even harder to find since we're not exactly a tennis hotbed. But for anyone listening that's out there that is in a place where that's available, sounds like a great option.
Yep.
So, Kurt, thank you so much. This has been great. I've learned a lot, and I appreciate your time and sharing your insights and wisdom with us. And just appreciate you helping us out over here.
No problem. Go check us out on Instagram. You're going to see some crazy stuff coming through.
Awesome. We'll keep an eye on it.